It doesn't take a degree in theology to see our text is about prayer. The lesson taught can be summed up in this phrase: be shameless daily. First, let's look at the word be. It's Eleanor Rigby here rather than let it be. Now, since it's been almost 50 years since their breakup, I might have to explain that those two things are Beatles songs. Well, what do they have to do with our text? In the last paragraph for our text, Jesus says, according to the NIV, if you then, though you are evil. Literally, he says, if therefore you wicked being. This is not the ordinary to be verb found about 450 times in the New Testament. This is the word found 48 times. This word is like Eleanor Rigby. It looks back to a past condition that reaches into the present rather than the ordinary to be verb, which is like let it be, only states a present circumstance. You can see all of poor, lonely Eleanor Rigby's life, from her picking up rice in the church after someone else's wedding to her funeral, to which no one came but Father Mackenzie. Contrast this with Paul McCartney's mom, Mary, advising him in times of trouble to just let it be. So when Jesus says in our text, you being evil, he is looking back to a past condition. We're evil now because that's what we've always been in the past. This is a bummer. It's a downer. It's a real buzzkill that nobody wants to hear, and many, even Christians, deny. But what do the scriptures say? When David searches about for the cause of his adultery, he doesn't go to Bathsheba's nakedness or his present lustfulness, but to the fact that he was sinful from the moment of conception. Paul tells one of his best congregations, the Ephesians, that their real problem goes back to their very natures as children of wrath. Birds fly, fish swim by nature. No one is surprised to see a flying bird or a swimming fish. Well, we're by nature children of wrath, under God's wrath because of our fallenness. That's our natural state. We're now with Randy Travis to the rock hard bottom of our hearts. Gulps are appropriate. But you haven't heard it all yet. The insert translates evil. All the 35 odd English ones I checked translate either evil or bad. Poneros is much stronger than evil. This is actively wicked. This teaches total depravity. In the area where even the biker thug or the mafia hitman prizes himself in his goodness, that is, in loving his kids, Jesus states flatly that no one need to prove that you're actively wicked from the start and still are as a parent. That's not how the devil, the world, or your own fallen flesh think. You do this, you do that, and you do this wrong, and that's your sin. If you just take care of it, you're good to go with God. Wrong. Our act of wickedness makes us by nature heirs of God's wrath, which in the words of Blonde means, one way or the other, God's going to get you. If you heard this rightly, you'll thank God that the next part is Garth, not Frank. The insert refers to the man's boldness, and you can hear Frank belting out in full-throated boldness, I did it my way. Well, that does seem fitting for a child of wrath to sing who doesn't think his wickedness is a problem. But that's not the tune to be hearing here. Jesus doesn't use the Greek word for boldness, but the one Garth sings, shameless. Actually, it's the Greek word shamelessness. It's only here in the New Testament, but from Homer on down, we find it elsewhere, and we know that's what this word means. So with Garth, we stand before the Lord and say, I'm shameless. I don't have a prayer. Anytime I see you standing there, I go down upon my knees. Here's the twist. Grammatically, the word shamelessness can refer to either the man pounding on the door or the man in bed. The former has no shame in waking an entire family in the middle of the night for a loaf of bread. The latter wants not to hear from his neighbors the next day, shame on you, for disregarding the serious duty of hospitality. The confessional Lutheran, answers when a biblical text can be translated either way, is to say yes to both. And the context does lead both ways. First, Jesus commands us to command God. He says, when you pray, you must say, Father, holy must be thy name, must come thy kingdom of thee. The bread of us daily thou must give, and thou must forgive the sins of us. Talk about a pitcher flipping. This is better than British Boxing Day. This is a whole lifetime of servants, slaves, former children of wrath, commanding their Heavenly Father what he must do for them. Stunning, startling, shameless, don't you think? There's more. Jesus commands you. You must not only ask, you must seek too. And you must get all the way to the shamelessness of the man in the parable. You must knock. And with Eric, you are knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door itself. You can have such shamelessness because God in Christ commands you to have it. You're to ignore your sin and your sinfulness and ask, seek, knock, based on the command and promise of Christ, who is your righteousness. What about the shamelessness of the man inside? He would represent the one who answers prayer, and that would be God. So in what sense can we say God doesn't want to be able to say, for people to say, shame on you? We see that in the Old Testament reading with Abraham, and you can find it several times in the prayers of Moses. They pray to God based on what others would think of his power, his promise, and his ways if he doesn't answer. What will others say if he destroyed the righteous with the wicked, or if he destroyed his Old Testament church in the wilderness after leading them out of Egypt? Would he want to bring shame on his holy, righteous, gracious, loving name? And if you remember Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord didn't find 10 righteous people there. He didn't even find 5. He found 3. And still he didn't sweep away the righteous with the wicked. And if you know your New Testament, you'll know that it is for the sake of one righteous man, Jesus, that he puts away his wrath and can be prayed to shamelessly in Jesus' name. Be shameless. Those are the first two words of our summary. What about the third, daily? Be shameless daily. Here is Norman Greenbaum, not Pink Floyd. Our text is more about the spirit in the sky than it is about money, 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 money on the ground for this life. It comes down to the Greek word daily in the command to pray for daily bread. Now, this is a tough one. As early as the 200s, Origen, a church father, said it was a word coined by the apostles. There's no certain use of this word in any other ancient source. 3 ways to translate it have come down to us: bread for today, bread for the coming days, bread for subsistence, or essential necessary bread. Here's another confessional Lutheran, both and, or here, all three. First, it can't be just about the bread for the body. When in the Sermon on the Mount, when the Lord gives the petition, he also commands, take no thought for what you shall eat. We pray for it, as Luther says, to remind ourselves that God gives us daily bread, that God gives daily bread to everyone without our prayer, even to all evil people. And we pray this so that God would lead us to realize this and so to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. Second, when the friend at the door asked to be lent 3 loaves of bread, the man inside ends up giving whatsoever the man needs. Third, more than bread for this body is being dealt with because our Lord commands us in the same prayer to ask for forgiveness, which we need both in body and soul. And finally, if an actively wicked father knows without being told, that's the particular Greek word used, knows without being told what good gifts his children need, surely the Heavenly Father knows every single good gift that his children need, not only for this life, but for the next. I hope you can hear Pink Floyd's Money. If you listen to financial news, you often hear that driving, rhythmic refrain, and the official music video does a good job of showing it's all about this body, this life. There's more here than that, because Jesus goes where Norman Greenbaum did, but better. We don't go up to the Spirit in the sky, he comes down to us. Jesus says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? First, we are not being commanded to pray for the Holy Spirit. That is shown by the parallel in Matthew 7:11. There, Jesus says, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Good gifts. The point being made is that the good answer to all your prayers is nothing short of the Spirit in the sky coming to you, which benefits you not just in body, but in soul too. God the Son was not born under the law to live sinlessly, yet still be betrayed into the hands of sinners to be put to death as a sinless sacrifice in place of all sinners. Now that didn't happen for us to get all the things the pagans seek after. He wasn't sent to live a holy life and die a guilty, damned death to win for you what the Father freely gives even to all evil people and to us even without our prayers. Read the accounts of Christ's death. After he declared he was finished paying for every single sin of the world, yours included, yours especially, yours particularly, minutely and thoroughly, Matthew 27:50 says, after doing that, he says, Matthew 27 says, he sent the Spirit. John 19:30 says, he handed over the Spirit. Oh, you say the Spirit of the sky goes back to the sky. Not so fast. When he appears in the upper room Easter Sunday evening, Jesus breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Here, the Spirit's back on earth again, and it's in the mouths of men when they baptize, when they absolve, when they communicate. That's what we say in our Lutheran confessions. Furthermore, the ministry of the New Testament is not bound to places or persons like the Levitical ministry, but it is scattered throughout the whole world and exists wherever God gives his gifts, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. Be shameless daily. As Psalm 81 says, I am the Lord your God, open your wide your mouth and I will fill it. With what? Our introit tells us, with promises that are sweeter than honey. Or as Van wrote in Dusty saying, sweet as Tupelo honey. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and a life everlasting. Amen.